हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
In the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the real picture of the mature world is given. It is said there, Urdvam mulam adha shakam ashvatam prahur avyayam chandamsi yasya parnani yastam veda savedavit. Here in the material world, here the material world is described as a tree whose roots are upwards and branches are below. We have experience of a tree whose roots are upward by reflection. If one stands on the bank of a river or any reservoir of water, he can see that the trees reflected in the water are upside down. The branches go downward and the roots upward. Similarly, this material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. The material world is but a shadow of reality. In the shadow, there is no reality. But at the same time, from the shadow, we can understand that there are substance and reality. But there is substance and reality. In the desert, there is no water, but the mirage suggests that there is such a thing as water. In reflection of the spiritual world, the material world... In the reflection of the spiritual world, the material world has no water, there is no happiness. But the real water of actual happiness is there in the spiritual world. Right, so, in other words, the idea is that the intellectual process, arohana, means going up. Then you start from here, and then you try to make a sense out of everything else from here. So you're starting with here, that here there's form, there's relationships, interactions, so many different things are there, variety. And it's a source of problem. So then you conclude that, well, spiritual has to be different from that, because spiritual, you know, everybody basically agree the element of eternality and all these things. So this eternality, then you shouldn't have all this, because you wouldn't want to always have disturbance, always want to have pain. Right? That shouldn't be. You want to be happy. So the idea, since these are seemingly what is causing my unhappiness, right? It's not even actually a very good understanding. What's causing the unhappiness is not what you're looking at or what you're interacting with it. It's your mentality in interacting with it. Right? Because you're attached to it, therefore you expect to get a certain result. You get it? Nice. You don't get it, you have a problem. You understand? You change your perspective, then it changes your experience. Right? So even the Mayavadis who are, you know, these impersonalists, they're supposed to be big, big yanis, they're still looking at it from this platform. If you change your mentality, it'd be that. But that's the point. So it's not, the problems, not the forms. But they're actually looking at, the forms are the problem. So they're starting from the bottom and then trying to go up to spiritual. So it doesn't work very good. Right? So they're saying is that by seeing what's here, you can understand spiritual, meaning it's the opposite, so there's none of what's here. But what Krishna is pointing out is, no, you have to start from the top. You understand the reflection by understanding the tree, not you understand the tree by understanding the reflection. Right? So you're looking at the reflection of the tree and saying, I get nothing out of this tree, therefore it's illusory, therefore it's useless. So spiritual means no tree, as opposed to, no, there's a real tree. That's what I'm looking for. The happiness I'm looking for, that platform of eternality, the relationships, the interactions, whatever it is that I want, is found in that original tree. But I'm so foolish, I'm looking at this reflection of a tree and thinking it's a real tree. So that means whatever is in the spiritual world, we see it's reflected here. But it there does not act according to here. Here is in line with, you know, a shadow of what's there. Right? The shadow carries the form of what it is the shadow of. But you get none of the, you don't, the experience is not full. Right? You see a shadow, okay, you can get some experience, but not like you can in dealing with the person. Does that make sense? Right? So that's the actual way you're supposed to look at it. These things are important here. That's because they originate there, but there they're important because they're connected to Krishna. That's the actual point. So that means that what you have here, then you can find its connection to Krishna there. Right? Does that make sense? The resident spirit, they, it means we say, oh, we're just being practical, we have our families, we have our economics, we have, you know, there's, you know, all kinds of political considerations, there's, you know, local gossip and politics, there's, you know, our own, you know, whatever goes on. But all that's going on in the spiritual world. Right? Nanda Baba, they have cows, they plow the land. Why do they do that? Just nothing else to do, they're bored, and so there's a bunch of animals around, so it's Goloka, it's full of cows, so you gotta do, I guess, you know, there's more cows than people, so there's a good chance that you're gonna have to work with the cows, so you might as well get used to it since you're there eternally, so you might as well, you know, take that step and do something with the cows. Right? That's why Nanda Baba's doing that? Yeah? No, it's economics. You deal with the cows, that's how you maintain. They're vaishyas. They maintain themselves by cows. So they milk, they plow the land, that's how the opulence is there. They sell everything in the market. The gopis are always going with pots of ghee and yogurt and this and that to the market. They're selling it there. When they pay, they have to go once a year pay taxes to the kings in Mathura. And they'll take all these things. Right? So it's their lifestyle. But they see all of this in connection with Krishna. Right? They have families. They have children. Right? They have kitchens. They cook lunch. Right? Like that. So, but they see all that in connection with Krishna. So it's not that, oh, we're doing something here different from there. No, they're doing whatever you're doing and more. Always remember, the reflection doesn't have a whole lot going for it. Does that make sense? It doesn't have a whole lot going for it. So we're so conditioned to this reflection that we think this is real substance. We've got some real taster, something to real bite into. But this is nothing. This is only a reflection of what's there. That means all the Krishna consciousness elements can be practiced in our life. There's nothing left out. Right? We're saying Krishna is spiritual world. Right? Then, what's the mean? That means everything's connected to him. Everything is conscious of him. That means all aspects can be conscious. So this is what's being shown here. Is that this is what you can get. You can get this understanding, being situated in this understanding. But one has to have faith of that. Otherwise, if you're so distracted by what's going on here, and so distracted that what's going on here is so important on its own, you know, it would be just like saying, let's say we have a key, right? And this key is to, let's say, a bank vault or something. So the key is so important. And all we do is deal with the key. But what's the key? What's the importance of the key? You know why that key? Pick up some money. You look in your grandmother's old drawer. There's plenty of keys in there. You know what I'm saying? So why this key? Because this key is connected to something of value. Therefore, it's important. So we put so much emphasis on our day-to-day life, but it's not connected to Krishna. What's the meaning? So that's the point when we say, oh, well, it's being practical, you know, just, you know, being realistic, you know, not being fanatic, just being down to earth, all these different things. But what's the importance of that? Just being practical for what? Just being realistic about what? You understand? That's the thing. It sounds good. But in actuality, if you question it, where's the substance? What is the meaning? And what's the speciality? Everybody's doing it. Right? That's everywhere you go. Every species of life is going through the same thing. The only difference is other species can't think of God, but they do everything else. And the human being can think of God and do everything else. So if we don't think of God, we just do everything else. What is the difference between us and everybody else? Why this special? Why be human? Right? Then you have all these, how you say, intellectual difficulties and all this and that. So much easier to be an animal. You just emote. You just react. That's all. You don't have to worry about something. You know, you don't have to sit around and figure out if you exist or not, you know, stuff like that. Does this make sense? Like that. Yeah, so these are the things you would see when you talk about the reflection. Oh yeah, reflection. Yeah, but what does that mean? Because reflection means reality is up and lack of reality is here. But why that's reality is because it's connected to Krishna. And so why here is lacking in reality? Because it's not connected to Krishna. You see it in connection to Krishna. What's the difference? Right? Does that make sense? The Lord suggests that we attain the spiritual world in the following manner. Okay. Nirmana, moha, jita, sangha, dosha, adhyatma, nitya, vinivritta, kama, dvandver, vimukta, sukha, dukkha, samgir, gacchantya, mudha, padam, avyayam, tat. That word, padam, avyayam, or eternal kingdom, can be reached by one who is nirmana and moha. What does this mean? Artificially, we are after designations. Someone wants to become sir. Someone wants to become lord. Someone wants to become the president or a rich man or a king or something else. As long as we are attached to these designations, we are attached to the body because designations belong to the body. But we are not these bodies. And realizing this is the first conception of spiritual realization. So understanding we're not the body, that's your first, that's the first basis, because you're dealing with the grossest, right? The body is the grossest manifestation of the transformation of the Lord's energy. Right? So the material, so you're taking the earth, water, fire, air, and ether, which is your grossest manifestation, and that understanding, we are not that. So it's the first conception, right? Then we call we're not the subtle body, we're not the mind, we're not the intelligence, right? And then slowly we get to the point, and then ultimately we get to, I am not the controller and enjoyer. So once you get through these four stages, right, then you can come to actual pure consciousness. Because right? Otherwise, there's these four states. So this is the first conception, is the grossest, that the false identity that I am what I see. Right? Then there's going to be, I am what I do. Then it's going to be, I am what I feel. Then the last one is, you know, this sense of controlling and enjoying. That security through being God. Right? So once one gets through these four, then you're actually on the devotional platform. Right? So this is the first conception. We are associated with the three modes of... Okay. So one must have no attraction for designations and jita sangha dosha. We are associated with the three modes of material nature, but we must become detached through devotional service of the Lord. Right? So detached means detached from these identifications. Right? That's what you're becoming detached from. Just as we see here, spiritual means it's connected to Krishna. So detached means it's now in connection with Krishna, not with connection with myself. Right? Grossest form is yes. Just like, okay, this form is for me is Maya. And so therefore I disassociate myself from that, then there's no Maya. Right? That's where one's starting. But the actual point is it's just another aspect of Krishna's energy. It's Maya because you consider it separate from Krishna. You consider its importance as something that's not connected with Krishna. Right? Its value is not connected to Krishna. That's what's illusory. So we're attached to that quality. Fine. But then repose that in Krishna. Then you change the nature of it. Instead of being material and illusory, then it's spiritual. Right? It's still being perceived in, through the material form. But its result is spiritual. It becomes touched by the chit potency. You understand? So just as this gross thing is that, oh, it's all Maya, get rid of it. So we think detachment is like that. Right? Because when we think attachment, you got to collect as much form as you can. You're being detached, then you get rid of as much form as you can. Right? That's what we're used to doing. So we're going to start that way. But then the problem comes is that, okay, I'm being spiritual, so I'm getting rid of everything. You know, no family, no this, no that, moving to the temple, completely there. You know, rah, rah, and all this. And then after 20, 30 years, then I'm going, well, this is, I got some problems here. I got all these undealt with, you know, feelings and desires. And so the only practical place to do this is to move out of the temple, get married, and start a life there. Remember that I mentioned 30 years? And I don't think someone who, you know, would be, you know, rah-rahing from 2 years old. So add that up, you're going to get something in your 40s or 50s, right? Okay? Does that make sense? Just to put it into perspective so we see, I'm talking about us sitting here, not some esoteric. Right? Okay? So now you have that. Now, okay, we've applied this very understandable but not very developed concept of detachment. Right? That detachment means simply the gross, not actually who it's for. And so the detachment's only on the physical observable platform, not on the mental or intellectual or on the consciousness. Right? Which is actually the grossest to get at that. Right? So then we give that and then go back into the family life. Which act technically is not the problem. The problem is that one, in just the same way that one, though for good purpose, in the first conception of spiritual realization, took that as detachment. But it's supposed to refine and develop with time. Therefore, it remains practical. It works today. Why? Because we're only on this first stage of spiritualization. And so it's absorbing. The mind, the intelligence, the consciousness is absorbed. So it works. It's not that it didn't work and it's bogus. No, it worked. But how long are you going to be able to keep the mind, the intelligence, and the consciousness on that? It gets old after a while, because it is dealing with material form. So when it gets old, then you want to turn to something else. You know, because, you know, okay, that didn't, so, you know, now we got all these detached, now go for something higher, you know, temple president, be a sannyasi, be a this, be a that, you know, some way be a mover and shaker, in some way get some position, get some taste out of it. You know what I'm saying? Understand that we're dealing with our anartas here. We're not saying this is the full consciousness, right? Because if the person's chanting and preaching, then they're fine, right? So what we're talking about are the parts that are not fine. Does that make sense? Just to put it in perspective, right? So then these things then become, then that, how long will that keep you busy? That can keep you busy for quite a while also, right? Because, you know, there's so much to distract, so much management, so much, you know, political aspects like this. And, you know, so it can keep you quite busy. Plans and, you know, that drive can keep you busy. But then what? Then when that runs out, what do you have left? Then we get all, you know, touchy-feely and all emotional and all that kind of stuff. And so then that brings you back to doing whatever you feel like, you know, as if, you know, that has anything to do with reality. But, you know, and it's, when did that work on Wall Street? You know, it's like that, you know, it's like doing what you do what you're supposed to do. Your boss tells you do this, you do it, you don't do what I feel like. You do what you're supposed to do. You know, unless you're being paid to feel and all that. Okay, then that's okay. But, you know, how often do you get a job like that? I feel the burger should be flipped now. So now I'm saying, where, how many do you get that? You know, it's like that. So it's not a job, right? Okay. Yeah. So then maybe human resources, maybe you could be, you know, go around in the company. You got 10,000 people to keep from killing each other. Then maybe you can, no, don't worry. We'll leave this tangent right there. Okay. So then one has come to this stage, but one has made the same, one has not developed. One has been purified. One has made advancement in Krishna consciousness. That won't be lost. But as far as actually applying the intelligence to the philosophy and applying it in your life, where's the development? Because it's still so gross. One is still seeing it as the forms. One is not understanding that the reason the spiritual world is the spiritual world is because they do everything in connection to Krishna. And basically speaking, most everybody there is family people who have an occupation. Right? You know, in Dwarka, they're kings. They do their kingly duties. They meet at court every morning. That's the job of a king. They do it. They maintain their armies. They do all that stuff. That's what they're doing. They are maintaining in Navadvip, Lord Chaitanya. They're doing, Lord Chaitanya is teaching at a school. It's his occupation. Right? So they have this. Yes.
I wanted to make a new commentary regarding how to focus on these two realities, because although the beginning and the explanation is based on the illusion, we also rationalize that it is the reality that this world is actually real, not just an illusion created by being detached from the Lord. And so, could you elaborate, although you are doing that, but in the specific that the devotee, Sastrian devotee, we should always work parallel with this understanding of avidya and vidya.
Yes.
Because it's real, the world is real.
Yes.
Reality is affecting us so
much. Yes. Well, the reality is affecting us because we allow it to. It means the forms exist, but what importance we give to them, that's the illusory element. Because it's not the form that's actually accomplishing the experience that we get. It's Krishna's potencies. So that's the illusion. We think, my new, you know, what do you call it? You know, my Bach car, that's what's making me happy. But it's not actually. It's Krishna's potencies that are there, you know, in, you know, whatever it is, refinement and in, you know, the social prestige and in nice workmanship and craftsmanship and all these different things that are there. That's what's actually the working principle. It's not the tin can with the rubber wheels. You know, so that's the illusion. So the thing is the gross is engaged. That always remains. So it's not that when one goes to the second stage, third stage, fourth stage, and ultimately gets to devotional service, that the gross doesn't remain. The point is the consciousness changes. So that's why Prabhupada says it's the first conception. Right? So it's the consciousness, the first stage. So what we're trying to bring out is that one makes this mistake, that first conception, and then that's good enough and doesn't progress further. And then from not progressing further, one is frustrated. And then having gotten frustrated, one says that there is a problem in the process. But in all of this, the same mistake is being made. The same mistake of being conditioned by karma and jnana. So just as the karmi thinks that my happiness is coming from the gross, and the jnani is thinking my suffering is coming from the gross. Therefore, the one is if I have the gross, I'll be happy, and the other is if I get rid of it, I'll be happy. So when we take up the process, we get rid of it, as a jnani would. But then when we don't progress to far further stages where we can work with it and be detached. So the detachment is a mentality, not meaning there's no physical form. So then due to lack of that physical form, then what does one deal with? You know, if you have needs, you have to deal with the form. There has to be a medium to express the need. So if you've gotten rid of the form, how is that need going to be engaged? So it won't be engaged. So then one goes back to the form, one falls from the jnana conditioning to the karma conditioning, that, okay, now we'll engage these forms, you know, for our own self. But now it's without God consciousness, because we thought God consciousness is getting rid of it. But that's what the jnanis think. So it's not Krishna consciousness that is at fault. It's that we didn't understand the depth, the maturity of the system. We started off with the first basic principle that relates to us as very gross observers of this world, and then think that that's all there is. And because of that, then when we find we do need to deal with the gross, we don't deal with the gross in relationship to the philosophy. We deal with the gross as conditioned by karma. And so we just get back and just say, I'm being practical. And it is practical. It is practical for karma. It's not practical for going back to Godhead. But it is practical for karma. You know, just like the other was practical for jnana. But we're trying to go beyond karma and jnana. That's why devotional service, free from karma and jnana, that's pure devotional service. So, like that. And he's saying that's pure devotional service. He's saying that's pure unalloyed devotional service. That's madhyamadhikari devotional service. That's where it starts. Then it goes up to pure unalloyed devotional service. But that means the madhyama is performing pure devotional service because he's not doing it for the purpose of karma or jnana. He's engaging them, but he's not doing it for the purpose of it. So that's what then is being brought out, because otherwise, if that's not the point being brought out, or a major point in being brought out, then why is it that Arjuna's on the battlefield, he sees this is all a problem, then Arjuna tells him that's because you're not understanding spiritual life. Understanding spiritual life, Arjuna wants to throw it all out. And Krishna says, no, you're going to fight. So at the end of the day, it's Arjuna doing exactly the same thing he came to do. What all has changed was his consciousness has gone from karma to jnana to bhakti. So now at the end of the day, the battle's the same. So in karma, the battle's the same. In bhakti, the battle's the same. In jnana, there's no battle. Right? But there's also no benefit because you have nothing to work with. Right? You can't cook lunch with nothing. You know? You know, make an air lunch, you know, your air guitar, you got your air snack, you know, so it's all happening, you know. So is that okay?
Air battle.
Air battle, yes. It's air battle. Okay. If we are not attached, okay. So we must have no attraction for designations. That's the point. It doesn't mean you can't deal with the things. It's a big mistake to think that's the only platform. You deal with things. It's just like this. Okay, the person's, you know, in a prominent position. So now if all you think is form, then you think spiritual means it doesn't have all this form. Right? So therefore, the big man, the problem is he's dealing with all these forms. So naturally, he must be attached and the taste he gets from all that, and that's his drive and all that. So if we're going to make this spiritual, then we have to nuke all this kind of position. Make everybody equal, make it all the same, level playing field, like that. If we have level, is, you know, it's a, yes, after you nuke everything, everything is very flat. But you have nothing. Right? It's not livable. No one lives in that environment. Right? If you check, you go now, you check, no one is living on Bikini Atoll. Right? There's no one's living there. Right? You don't know Bikini Atoll? That's where they, I think, did the first nuclear experiment. They blew that up. It's a coral reef and that, I don't know where it is, but somehow or another it's very famous in this way. So they blew that up. Nobody's living there. So it doesn't work. It's not the thing. So detachment, so then it says, if we are not attached to devotional service to the Lord, then we cannot become detached from the modes of material nature. In other words, the jiva, by nature being shakti, is attached. They have to be. There's no question of not being attached. So when we say detached, we mean from material energy. But you can't live in a state of detachment. Only Krishna can do that. Because he is independent. We're not. We're dependent. So it's a matter of transferring the attachment from the material to the spiritual. So to do that, you may begin by getting rid of the material forms you're attached to. Fine. But then you have to make endeavor to get attached to the spiritual form. And once you understand that, then you can deal with material form in connection to Krishna. Because spiritual form we'll see in connection with Krishna. Right? No one tries to enjoy the Artik lamp or something. You know, it's like it's just known, it's for Krishna. Right? You know, it's off taking the conch shell and, you know, playing some blues or something like that. No. They know this is for Krishna. So they see the form and this all together. Right? But then one time I was sitting in the, how you say, ark playing the chauffeur, you know, just like that. That was, I guess, a step of that. So you're taking the, you have, I mean, the form that, because you see this, the form as spiritual, you can connect spiritual and form, no problem. But that means once you get adjusted to that principle, then you can deal with the material forms and see them in connection with Krishna. So they have the same effect. Right? Because think about it. The conch shell is just another aspect of this material world. Right? It wasn't that, you know, this conch was, you know, born over in the ocean and he was, you know, effulgent with a little halo around him and, you know, all the other aquatics are offering their respects because he is transcendental and all that. No, he was just living his life like any other conch was. Right? And then one day some guy catches him and then, you know, he ends up on your deity altar. Right? So, because it's engaged in Krishna's service, that's why. Does that make sense? So, that's the principle, but we don't connect like that. We just, it's spiritual. So we just, like that, it's Krishna's. So the point is that if everything is Krishna's, that means everything can be connected. That's the whole point. So in the beginning, we get rid of those forms that are a distraction and deal with those forms that are obviously connected to Krishna. Therefore, the temple program, temple activities, the prominence in sadhana and preaching, because that is, we will identify those all as spiritual. Right? But then, as long as that platform is comfortable for us, why do something else? Right? That's the best platform. You won't find a better platform because, you know, why bother getting overly absorbed or involved in material energy when there's no need to? But if there is a need, then in the same process can be applied. You know? So as the Lord's paraphernalia you use it only for the Lord, according to His directions, then if you expand that, you have your house and family, then you'll see them as also paraphernalia of the Lord, that you'll engage in the Lord's service according to the Lord's directions. Right? Does that make sense? You like doing artik. Okay? So you like doing family activities. But it's not that they're not connected or can't be connected. Right? So that's the point to say, is that we must... So one must have no attraction for designation. You can't say, I am this, but I am the grihastha, I am the man, I am this. No, it's a matter of, no, these are that. You may work with those positions. You may work with those elements. You know, just like you work with potatoes in the kitchen when you're cooking for Krishna. You know? You understand? You don't have to identify with the potato to get a potato subject. Does that make sense? You know, otherwise you got problems, you know. Because a lot of our, vocabulary that we use to describe a unfortunate, you know, situation are, you know, connected with cooking. You know, like that. You know, you're fried, you're cooked, you're roasted. You know, all these different things like that. So then if you identify with it, the potato goes through a lot of changes in that 15 minutes between, you know, or 20 minutes when... You know, it looks like a potato you can plant in the ground, and when it's, you know, put on the offering plate. So, it would be a bit traumatic. So one has to understand is that detachment, through devotional service, you become detached because you connect it to Krishna. You become attached to Krishna through the same thing. You're attached to your money, but if your money is used for Krishna, then you're attached to Krishna. This is how you can do your service for Krishna. Right? Yudhishthira was lamenting that all these Brahmins want to come with him to the forest. But as a king, he can take care of all of them. Why this? He can take care of many, many more. But as now he's lost everything, he can't take care of them. So he's lamenting. He is a person who takes care of people by facility as the king. But he doesn't have that facility. So he can't perform his occupation that way. He can't engage his occupation in the service of the Brahmins. Right? So therefore, he's lamenting the lack of economics. But it's not because he's attached to economics. It's that economics are something he uses in connection with the Lord. Understand? So that's the meaning of nature. Whatever is your nature. Some people are comfortable with economics. Some are not. So those who are, deal with it. Those who aren't, don't deal with it. Right? We have to understand detachment, the material detachment is also another form of attachment. You're attached to detachment. Right? You like it simple. Right? You're attached to simple. While the others are attached to complicated. Right? So it's just wherever you're situated. Someone is better with knowledge, someone with with power, someone with money, someone with art. So whatever it is, it doesn't matter. That's your medium. And each one works just as good as the other. Right? But they all must be based on knowledge. Because Krishna is saying, perform your duty with knowledge. So it doesn't matter what your occupation, what is the ashram, it should be performed with knowledge. Right? Does that make sense? If we are not attached to devotional service to the Lord, then we cannot become detached from the modes of material nature. Therefore, the Lord says, vinivrita kama. Designations and attachment are due to our lust and desire, our wanting to lord it over the material nature. As long as we do not give up this propensity of lording it over material nature, there is no possibility of returning to the kingdom of the Supreme, the Sanatana Dharma, that eternal kingdom that is never destroyed. Oh, okay. Okay, that's another sentence. So until we're giving up lording it over, so that starts from the grossest. The grossest has to be connected, right? Then the intelligence and the senses. Then the mind. Then we can give this up. So body, mind, and words we engage. If that's all engaged, then it's very easy to work on the controlling and enjoying. Because all of our sense to control and enjoy is manifest through the body, mind, and words. So body, mind, and words are connected. Then it's going to be very easy to overcome that. And that, Krishna is saying, Prabhupada is saying here, it can only be done by devotional service. Only through devotional service can this be done. Karma, Jnana, and Yoga cannot be brought to its perfectional platform without devotional service. It just doesn't happen.
Is it because they're isolated concepts, whereas devotional service is a holistic thing that deals with a person?
Okay, would that because they're isolated concepts, okay, and devotional service deals with everything? You could say, yeah, because Krishna is everything, and the devotees interacting with Krishna is the most important element. So, all these others, yeah, they're dealing with a specific thing, only with action and reaction, only with knowledge and detachment. They don't deal beyond, it's not balanced fully. It means it has truth to it, just like Prabhu was mentioning, is that everything here exists, there's a truth to it, but its truth is in connection with Krishna. That's why every scripture you see that opens with creation, to show how whatever is the particular subject matter described in this book, that it has its original connection in the Supreme. Right? Because creation comes down, and in the process, everything is created. So whatever it is that is the topic matter of the book, it's created at some point. So where that point is, then you understand this is how it goes back to the Lord. So you take so all these different aspects, all these different branches of knowledge are parts of this total understanding. There's Krishna and what he does. Right? His relationships, all these things. That's what is there. Then you take a specific aspect of that. Right? Krishna interacts with his devotees. So one of the interactions is food. So what kind of food does God like to interact over? You know what I'm saying? So that is a medium of interaction. So therefore, then there's a whole branch that's there. But the point is the cooking and the food and the serving and the menus and the everything about it is simply meant for Krishna's devotees to interact. It's not meant to stand on its own. Right? Krishna and the devotees interact. Then do the overwhelming elements of the emotional ecstasy. Then it creates all kinds of physical symptoms or emotional symptoms. And so, therefore, they have a medicinal process to take care of that. Right? Somebody becomes stunned. What medicine you give them? What is all these different things? So that process, then, of balancing everything, that's your Ayurveda. Right? You know, things become much more extended here. But the point is it's the same thing. But it's not meant to stand on its own. It's only part of that. You know, what is the cultural or social environment in which God interacts with his devotees? So that social environment then is established in the Dharma Shastras, in the Puranas, right? In the Vedas. So you can see the lifestyle that people would live. But that in that in-depth study of the social system, like in the Dharma Shastras, it's not meant to be something separate than dealing with the Lord. There's only the Lord, right, in his pastimes. So these are all the details of aspects of that. And the reason we need it delineated in the scriptures then means, at least in the book, because we don't remember things very well. And by breaking them apart like this, then at least you get a complete picture of one. And from one, in theory, you could therefore understand everything else. You know what I'm saying? It's just like a man knows very well, competently, one business. Technically, he can apply that to any other business. He just has to understand the medium difference. You can drive one car. Technically, you could drive any car. You know, just after, you know, which side you're sitting on and, you know, different things like that, you know, are different. It's minor, but the principle is the same. You know? So if somebody did study Ayurveda, technically they could understand any other Shastra and understand his connection to God, and this way become God conscious. Right? And then expand it into all other aspects of their life, because an Ayurvedic doctor is not just doing Ayurveda all day. He also has his family and interactions and his money and everything else that's there in the Shastra. But he starts from this one and gets everything done. So that's the point, is that the Vedic system is such that everybody can be doing something, you know, unique to their conditioned nature, and it will get the same spiritual result. You only find this in the Vedic culture. Every other process, everybody else has to become exactly the same. You know, but they claim they have variety. You know, but only the Vedic system actually has the variety. And unfortunately, it's seen that it's all the same due to lack of knowledge, lack of understanding, lack of intelligence, as Prabhupada mentioned at the beginning of the introduction. People are less intelligent, therefore they can't discriminate. So they can't actually tell what the Vedic culture is offering. How refined, how developed, how sophisticated, how efficient. Otherwise, no one would badmouth it. You know, as far as if we're dealing connecting the conditioned nature to the Lord, you can't ignore it. If you're beyond the conditioned nature, why bother? Because then you're going to deal with the original Vedic culture, the culture of the spiritual world. So in either case, you're going to be absorbed in the culture. Just whether you're there in the spiritual world doing it, or you're here in the material world doing it. Does that make sense? So that's the idea. So every branch of knowledge is meant to bring you to the point of God consciousness and give you an entrance into how everything else is connected to the Lord. Right? You just have to know the common element. So in the same way as the karma, jnana, and yoga, there are different aspects of devotional service. But they don't see them in connection with devotional service, and so then they try to make them into complete processes themselves, which they're not. Right? None of them are a complete process in themselves. You can't just work or just think or just meditate. It means a human being is more complex than that. There are more things have to be happening. Does that make sense? So that eternal kingdom, which is never destroyed, can be approached by Amudha, one who is not bewildered by the attractions of false material enjoyments. This is Amudha is in Sanskrit, not saying Amudha. Or if you wanted to be very classic, Anmudha, then you'd understand what I'm saying. This is meaning not Mudha. One who is not bewildered by the attractions of false material enjoyments, who is situated in the service of the Supreme Lord, one so situated can easily approach that supreme abode. Okay. So now we've described is that the result is that you can get to the spiritual world. Right? Now we're starting to come into the area of now how to apply that. Right? We have a goal, but you have to apply a goal to get a goal. Right? You have to have a goal to get a goal, but it still has to be applied. Right? So in other words, the mind will touch on the goal, be convinced by it, then will focus on endeavor, which will actually get you the goal. Does that make sense? So you're going to go from sambandha, you're going to touch on prayojana, because without a goal, you're not going to work. Then come back to abhideya, perform abhideya, and then you'll actually get the prayojana. Right? So it'll go through the stages of sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana. But between sambandha and abhideya, it'll touch. You understand? It'll touch on that. Then it will move forward. Okay? So what's happening now is now we've understood that one can establish yourself in a relationship with the Lord. Right? Then you will be situated in the spiritual world, you know, look in whatever anyone is looking for in this world. But to get that, then you must now apply the devotional process. So now that brings us to the sixth and last point of the introduction. Process given in Bhagavad Gita for attaining the abode of Krishna. So now how we're going to attain that. So you understand? So the points overlap. If you want to get the spiritual world as a goal, then you first have to want it as a goal. Right? Then only you'll work for it. Does that make sense? So that's why it's, in dealing with your sambandha, you must touch on what it is you can get. Then you'll endeavor it, then you can actually get it. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay, so that's it.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jainatai Gaura Premanandi.